Hey, welcome to We Need to Talk with Nick B. I'd like to thank Bracken's Firearms. For all your firearms and shooting needs, give them a call. 719-465-8320. I'd also like to thank 5280 Creative Company. Contact them for all your custom handmade items, cups, keychains, tote bags, and much, much more. Check them out at 5280creativeco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Also like to thank Kiss My Fist. They have the hardest hitting edibles on the planet. Go to Kiss My Fist, medco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Hey, welcome. This is Nick B. We're going to do an open chat tonight. In fact, we're going to call it Open Chat with Doc Magic. He should be jumping on here any minute. And see how he's doing. Check him out and see what's going on in the world. So we'll give him a minute here to jump on. Hope everybody's doing good, having a good weekend. It's snowing here in Colorado, all day in Denver, snow, parts of it at least. Been rainy and snowed down in Colorado Springs most of the day, but I guess that's springtime in the Rockies, they call it.
How's it going?
Just winding down for the day. Relaxing. Do what?
Oh, I was just saying that's fair.
Yeah. Some days it seems longer than other days. I don't like Friday night, so Friday's a long day.
I believe that.
You know, you get up there and you start setting up around 9, between 9 and 10, and then you know, they do the show at 3 to 7, and you don't get home to 8:15, 8:30. It's just like, wow. At least today it ended at 5. So, what kind of deal were you working out?
I was trying to get a hold of some Velcroed, I forget what they're called. It's like a type of hook. What you do is you place it in between two Velcro pads of whatever it is that you have.
Right.
So I was working out getting a bunch of them.
Okay. So it's for hanging? Like, to hang? I guess I don't understand. I know what you're saying, but I guess I don't know what they're for. What would you use them for?
Just hanging stuff off of whatever it is. Like one of my backpacks, the top flap velcros down onto the top of the bag to close it. So if I put two hooks, one on each side, I can hang two smaller bags off of it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're talking about now. I was trying to think. Actually, I guess I was thinking guns. But I didn't want to ask you how you're going to hang your guns. You know, because you wouldn't.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say you wouldn't want to put Velcro on your guns.
No, definitely not.
I guess if you had them in a bag somehow, you could Velcro the bag and then hang them. Give you some more room.
Yeah. I actually usually keep them in an ammo can, and then that goes into a locked plot.
Yeah. So did you see that one, I think I showed you. I don't know if I showed you or not, that new law that they're trying to get passed on the liability insurance.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to look it up to see what the actual rule or the whole law says.
They're trying to pass a whole bunch of stuff. The Senate should be voting soon on the, what do they call it, semi-auto ban?
I thought that was Friday. Didn't they do that yesterday?
That's what I heard, but...
I got something on my Google, you know, like my warnings or my notifications, that they did something, but I wasn't able to read it. I got busy or something else happened, and so I didn't get to actually read it. But I'll go back and read it later. Because a lot of these laws are new, whatever they want, call them chapters or charters, are supposed to take effect, I think, July 1st.
But, yeah, I think the Senate hearings started yesterday. I don't think they concluded because I couldn't find anything conclusive on it. Other than it passed the initial House vote and went on to the Senate, and they're either just started the hearings on it or they are about to.
Yeah.
I think just started.
Well, if you got them already, that's what I want to know. Do you have to register it, or can you just keep it like, you know, like nothing ever happened?
All the previous ones are grandfathered in. As of now, you don't have to register it, but they'll probably pass something to have you register it after.
Kind of an extension onto it.
Yeah.
That's going to mess with a lot of people.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Not just dealers, but, you know, everybody. Anyone that buys or, you know, has an AR-style rifle. Or a pistol.
Yeah, but literally any semi-automatic or fire is going to be affected. I thought there was a magazine restriction on it, like anything over 10, but apparently there's no thing about the magazines except detachable box magazines.
A detachable box magazine?
Yep.
Well, that's almost every... bolt,
yeah.
Hunting rifle out there. I mean, most of them have a little drop box that holds three or four.
Yeah, so the bolt action should be fine. Yeah. The qualifiers is a center fire semi-auto with a detachable box magazine.
Right. Well, I wonder what...
Good.
I don't know how you could make one. I wonder how you could make an AR semi-automatic.
They actually, in California, there's a company that sells a bolt assembly that turns your AR into a bolt action.
It's like an assembly, a kit you put in it?
Yep. It's not like a traditional bolt action. You have to work the charging handle basically every time you take a shot, but it makes it go from illegal to legal. And they got a few things like that. They have the AR's featureless, where you cannot remove the magazine without partially disassembling the gun and all kinds of really weird stuff.
Huh. Well, I'm sure those items will be coming to Colorado soon. One way or another.
Likely.
I don't know, dude. I got a feeling it's all going to pass, but I mean,
yeah.
Then they've got one out there. I don't know if it was on that, but they want to make us dealers have a $300,000 liability insurance policy.
I don't think that was part of it. I think that was part of a different one. But all the news I can find is just on the semi-auto ban because that's the big one that everybody's freaking out about.
Yeah, that one, you know, that'd probably be the most effective, but I think I'd be freaked out about the insurance as a gun owner. Because the way I don't understand that, even if you don't have an AR, then you would have to still have a liability policy.
Yep, just owning a gun, you have to have insurance.
Right, so even a little .22 single-shot revolver, now you got to, you know, inform your insurance or however they're going to set that up. I think that one would bother me more than any of them. Because the AR, yeah. If I have one, I know it's grandfathered in, even if I have to register it.
So here's also the thing, too. I don't think they're going to be trying to go for registration right out the gate. I think they're using the insurance as a backdoor registration because you have to register with the insurance company, which doesn't sound as bad to most people, so they won't think twice about it. But then the insurance companies will have a copy of everything you have for insurance reasons, and then you know how the government does.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be one of those deals. Everything you get turned in on these kind of policies or... You know, when you start one, you must turn it into probably the ATF or someone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it sounds like it's shaping.
They got their sneaky way of finding it. Getting the info they want.
Yep. Then they can also order court subpoenas, things like that. And it's... We are in unprecedented waters for this country, but, you know, is what it is.
Well, I think what scares me the most is, you know, they say it's going to stop, you know, the street crime, but I don't know. I mean, I'm like anyone else, yeah, hey, let's get rid of this street crime and, you know, we don't need it, but. If you start taking these guns away from the good guy, the only ones that are going to have guns are the bad guys.
Yeah,
at least here in Colorado. Hey, I think it was with thoughts. Thanks for joining us, coming in. But what were you going to say, Doc?
I was going to say, I think when Shep was in here one night, we were talking about how it's actually pretty easy to go into a city and get a fully automatic, completely 100% illegal gun off the street. Like, it is shockingly easy.
I've heard that before. I hear people saying that all the time, but, I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't think it's as easy as people are saying.
Well, it's not like you can just walk down the street and start asking people for fully automatic weapons.
If you know people maybe on the streets that handle guns or maybe, you know, into some shady stuff, you can probably find someone. But if I went downtown, I'm a gun dealer. I bet you if I had $1,000 on me right now, I don't think I'd find a gun. I mean,
probably not. So the knowing people thing is it usually goes with knowing somebody who knows somebody. Like people won't be so open about that kind of thing, but you got people who peddle small drugs. And I can guarantee you a lot of those people know somebody who deals with guns.
I mean, you probably are right. I don't know. Because, I mean...
Well...
Maybe you get into, like, a bigger town like Denver, maybe. But most of these people that do steal these guns usually use it real fast because that's why they went to steal it. And now they've dumped it somewhere, you know, in the creek or a lake or... Because now they don't want, you know, their fingerprints on it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So I did work with a guy when I was working in pizza at Papa John's. He was like a small-time drug dealer. He was supplying some of the people at the store I worked at. And when he found out I was into guns, he said, "Hey, so I know a guy who can get his hands on basically anything you want. Are you interested?" I was like, "Nah, man, I'd prefer to keep my stuff legal."
Well, could you imagine getting, you know, buying something legal or buying something illegal, you know, off the street because, oh, I need $100. So, you know, I can buy a $500 gun for $100, but, and then getting busted with that gun. You know what it's going to cost you in lawyers and lawsuits? Especially if it was a gun used in a, you know, a major crime.
Yep.
I would, I don't know. I guess, you know, but I'm not a criminal, so I guess I don't think along the lines, hey, I need a something to do, you know, I need something that can do a job in 5 seconds, or I don't know, dude. I guess,
yeah.
You know, as a gun dealer, I guess I look at things a little bit different and try to, I don't know. I just don't know. That's what scares me a lot of times about buying some of these guns at the gun shows. I really don't, you don't, really don't know where that gun came from. You know, I had a guy come to me today. In fact, he had a SIG, 6 hour P229, 40 cal. Oh yeah, my best friend gave this to me. Well, wait a minute, why did your best friend just give you a gun? Where's your best, you know, all these questions are going in my head. Where's your best friend live? And, you know, what's he do and stuff? But anyways, after we got talking, then he wanted more money for it now than it is when it's new. And I'm like, no, I had to pass on it, but I don't know, dude. It's,
yeah. See, that just makes that sound, more suspicious because that means he doesn't know the value of the gun.
Well,
which means he probably didn't get it under normal circumstances.
Well, first off, it was given to him. You know, I'd say, well, what would you offer me? You know, or I'd at least do a little homework, go on Gun Broker and say, okay, you know, the average is 500. If I get 350 for it, I don't know. But you have to realize, you know, you and I were around guns all day long, 7 days a week. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't even have guns, probably don't even know how to point the gun, you know. But I don't. That's the biggest thing that scares me, though, is what am I buying from these people? Because I'm just like anyone else. I get caught with a stolen gun, I'm going to lose it. I'm not going to go to jail. I ain't going to get in trouble, but. Because I got, you know, who I bought it from, but I, you know, still lose my gun, lose my money. But
yeah, it makes sense.
You know, that's, I guess, the only thing I'm lucky on a dealer. You know, if I get caught with a stolen gun, I bought it from this gentleman. Here's his ID or a copy of his ID. I've never... only bought one stolen gun in my life, so I've actually been pretty lucky in 20 years. Only had to.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Huh?
That is pretty good.
I mean, I've had more stolen than that, but I've never bought any, you know, that many stolen guns. But, I don't know. But I was, I'll tell you what, I had this lady come up to me today. You wouldn't believe the deal she wanted to do. You know what a Smith & Wesson Easy 380 is, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little 380, easy pull. It's the MP Shield Easy. Anyways, they cost me brand new $368. And she comes up to me and says, "I don't like this gun." Okay, what's wrong with it? You know, she didn't like the way it felt in her hand. And so I asked her, I said, "Well, what do you want to do? You want to sell it?" "Nope, I want this gun." Guess what she picked out?
I'm gonna go with the not the Jimenez, the SCCY.
Well, next thing up, a Taurus. I mean, Taurus makes a good gun now. I mean, in my opinion, but yeah, she says I want that Taurus G2C 40 cal. And I looked at her, and I asked flat out to her. I said, "Now you know the gun you have is worth $100, $150 more than this gun." Yeah, but I like the way that one feels. So I did it. Went ahead and traded her. I ended up giving her $20 cash and paid for the background. And I thought, okay. What do you do? What would you have done?
I mean, in that kind of situation, I don't know. Like, if you're going from a 380 to a 40, that's quite a step up when it comes to like recoil management and just ammo costs, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and I kept trying to tell her that. I told her, you know, this is a lot stronger gun. I mean, the Taurus weighs a little bit more, but I said, this one's, it's going to move your hand. You're not going to just go out and go freewheeling on this. And she insisted on having that 40 cal. And she told me the reason she's buying it, because it had a lifetime warranty.
And that is a pretty big seller for some people, especially if they only ever plan on having a gun and that's it.
I don't know. I got, I was lit, like I said, I was literally trying to talk her out of it. And I just said, hell with it. Let's do it. Here's your $20. I'll pay for the background. Here's your gun. And I think she got mad because, she came in with a gun, but she didn't leave with a gun because of the 3 day wait period.
Yeah, that 3 day
that
wait
made
can
her
be
too
killer.
busy. Huh?
The 3 day wait can be a little bit of a killer for some people.
Yeah, but even as a gun dealer, it doesn't bother me, especially on first time buyers. If this is the first gun you've ever bought, you've gone this long without a gun, however old you are, what's another 3 days? Let them make
Yeah.
sure you're not, make sure you're eligible to have one. But now what irks me about it is, I've got customers been buying, a gun a month. Look at you. Why should you have to wait 3 days to get your gun?
It doesn't bother me because I already have guns.
Well, yeah, and that's with most people. They've already got however many guns or got one, but why should you still have to wait?
Yeah, I mean, if especially if you've proven that you're a responsible gun owner, but I think it is used as a deterrent as well to get people to either buy less guns or deter first-time gun buyers from even buying a gun. But I don't think it's like a majorly effective one. Look at California, they have a 10-day wait, and
Oh, yeah.
people still love buying guns over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's actually quite a few states that have 7, 10, days wait. But I don't know. The reason they claim they did it was to stop rash decisions, which I
Yeah.
understand. Boyfriend's messing around or the girlfriend's messing around, I'm going to get even with them or something, but.
So here's the thing about that particular one. So they did several sightings. One of them is people who want to off themselves as a deterrent have that extra wait day. That one kind of makes sense, but if somebody's really dedicated to the idea, they're going to find another way to do it, or they're just going to wait the 3 days. If it gets to like the you get home and your wife's cheating on you and you catch her, you go out, you buy a gun, you shoot her in the face. We looked it up. My roommate and I spent a few weeks looking it up. We couldn't find a single case where somebody went to the gun store, bought a gun, went home, and shot somebody. Every instance where the person caught someone else cheating and they shot them and or the person they were cheating with, they either already had a gun or got it off the street illegally.
And, I mean, how did you do your research? Like through the courts or?
I tried looking up court cases. I tried looking up news articles. I tried all different kinds of search parameters. And I was not pulling up anything where they went to a gun shop, bought a gun the legal way, and did it. It was all either they already had a gun, or they got it off the street, or they took a relative's gun.
Now, that one I could see probably been probably one of the highest ones. Mom has a gun over there. Watch this. Yeah.
Yeah. That actually was second. The highest one was they already had a gun.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I forgot you said that. Yeah. I don't know if I don't know. I've had five wives or four wives, you know, four divorces, but I don't think in fact, I'd look at them and say, here's her bills too. You know, have a good night. You know?
Yeah, that's just one of those things. I caught my last ex cheating on me and like in the act, and I wasn't even mad. It was just, we're done.
Well, yeah, I do know, you know, I'm a little bit older, so I guess maybe that shit don't bother me, but even when I was young, my first wife, you know, I can't ever remember getting that mad that I wanted her to kill her right then and there. I mean, she never did cheat on me, but I don't know. I don't know. It puzzles me sometimes how people do stuff like this.
Well, you know, it's like people who shoot someone else out of anger. Like, how do you even get to that point of anger that you feel the need to shoot somebody, stab them, or basically just kill them in general? It's like, what causes that level of anger? Like, I never felt so angry that I wanted to hurt someone before.
Do you think alcohol or, I mean, I know alcohol and drugs do when you're on them, but you know, if you think like just the use of, say marijuana, even though you're not high, you know, during the day at work or during the situation, do you think that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, like, it would make sense if you are abusive to a substance that it could change your brain chemistry, and maybe that's what it is.
Just send you off on a rage at any time, you think?
I mean, I don't think it's at any time. I think it's just you take something that messes with your brain, gets you high, gets you drunk, whatever the case is. It would stand to reason that, you know, long enough abuse of it could change your brain chemistry to where you have less emotional control or you feel certain things more intensely. But I'm not a doctor, contrary to my name. I'm not a doctor. So I can't definitively say. And it's not really something I ever thought to look into, so I'll probably definitely be looking into that. Maybe there's an answer there, but I don't know. It's just, it's baffling that people can get angry enough to want to hurt or worse other people.
Well, you know, look at road rage. I mean, I've seen just good old people all of a sudden just totally lose it because someone cut them off, you know, or you accidentally turned into their lane and they had a honk at you or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen some pretty unreasonable fits of rage while driving.
You know, I'm the one that sits behind all the other cars, you know. You guys go ahead and do the 60, I'll do 59, you know. My dad gets mad at me, even though he's 80 years old. It's like, well, We're going to be an hour late. Well, that's why we left 2 hours early, Dad. I don't know. Now, when I was young, I do have to admit, you know, I was the one that was going in and out of the traffic, and everybody was honking at you and throwing you the fingers. But now I'm closer to the 60 age, and I'm like, eh, I got all day. I don't know. It does irritate my logic, me sometimes, but what the hell?
My logic while driving has always been really simple. Cars are dangerous. Treat them as such. Don't do anything stupid or reckless. And if somebody's behaving stupid or reckless near you, slow down so they get ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. I let them go way ahead. Yeah. You know, I don't know, you know, what time you know. But you should have seen the traffic coming home from Denver tonight. And there's people out, you know, there's snow and ice and rain and everything. I mean, the highway's just wet pretty much. People on motorcycles doing 90, 95 miles an hour past me. And I'm like, hell, bud, I'm doing 70. And he's on two wheels. I hope he doesn't hit nothing. I mean, I never seen him on the side or nothing, but I just... The way some of these people drive, it's just, it amazes me. It's like they don't care about their lives.
Well, you know, everybody thinks they're immortal until they don't.
Oh, I mean, I think it's too cold out there for, you know, too much bad weather out there for the motorcycles. But, I mean, I don't ride one or drive one, but I don't know. I'm just, my opinion.
See? I think part of the mentality behind most motorcycles is the thrill of how dangerous it is. You know, people who ride their motorcycles are probably some form of adrenaline junkie because adrenaline is addictive. How addictive, I don't know, but I do know it can get addictive to some people, and those are usually the type of people that'll ride their bikes because there's a certain thrill of not having the safety of a car and going that fast.
Well, yeah, I agree. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I just couldn't imagine having that kind of thrill going in and out of cars. And, I don't know. You're probably 500% right. I just don't imagine it.
I sometimes think I might have been one of those thrill seekers had I not gone through what I went through right after high school. Like, if you want a good level head, get blown up and survive, and it'll be like, you know what, I'm good. I don't need to take this risk.
Yeah, see, but that's where you got an advantage over, I guess, a lot of these people. You almost experienced the death. And you want to see more of the life. I don't know how that sounds, but I understand what you're saying. It would be hard. I don't know. So what all did you end up buying today? I know the dagger, the PSA dagger that you bought.
Yeah, I picked up the CZ-50 from Steve today. I actually got that last show.
Oh,
well, not okay. Like last, but the last show he was at, which was two shows ago.
So you bought that from him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you bought it today. I thought...
No, I was picking it up today, and then, today I bought, the PSA dagger, and I also picked up a Beretta 1915, model 19.
Oh, was that acrylic? Were you able to take that one home?
Yeah, that was the, CNR.
Yeah. Now, do you have a CNR license?
I do not. I was actually thinking about getting one, but what's holding me up is I want to see how the laws are changing first, because if I get a CNR license and then they do the semi-auto ban, well, I can't get any more of the CNRs that are semi-auto, which is what I collect, the little 32s.
Yeah, no, that would... it could interfere with that sooner or later.
Yeah, so I want to see how...
If it's over 50 years old, it don't matter. You can take it home anyways.
Yeah.
So you really don't have to have a, you know, a license. You just do your background, and if you pass, you can take it that day.
Well, the main reason why I would be... getting the CNR license if these laws don't get stupid about CNRs is there are websites that are dedicated to CNRs, and occasionally they have either really good deals or really rare finds. And rather than trying to go through a FFL to get it shipped, I can just order it with my CNR information and they'll send it to me.
Yeah, because in other words, you have to do the background check. If even if you used another dealer, you'd have to do the background check, which is only, you know, a couple hours at the most, usually.
Yeah, it's not like the height of the pandemic where they were taking 10 days, 14 days.
Oh, no. Shit, that was... Yeah. And I don't think that's... I think that's why people don't care about the three-day wait. You know, everybody that bought guns during the pandemic, they knew they were waiting 14 to 20 days at times. So that don't really bother people. And anyone under the age of 20, you know, anyone that was under the age of 21, they don't know no different anyways. They didn't, I guess, enjoy the 10-minute turnover. But, so all the new buyers, 3 days, big deal, you know.
Yeah.
No, I like I told you earlier, there's a couple that worry me, but there's some that we can work around. I will feel sorry for if they do ban the ARs.
Yeah.
But we're down to 70 guns, so that's all he got left. Maybe he sold 7, so maybe down to 60 guns now. So a couple more shows, and maybe we'll get rid of them all.
So once the law is confirmed to have been passed, if it does confirm to pass, it's going to be a mass panic buy.
I don't know. I figured people would be buying them now.
You know,
just because it's in the... you know, in the house or in the courts or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I really did. I thought there'd be more people buying now.
This isn't the first time that gun control like that has passed the house. It usually gets shot down in the Senate. So I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, it always passes the House and never the Senate. So they're probably, you know, just thinking, oh, it won't pass. But everybody I talked to who went to the actual public forum on it,
right,
they were saying, like, the politicians really seemed to not care this time what anybody was saying. Like, their minds were already made up. Yeah. So if that does pass in the Senate, then it's passed. It will take effect, and that's when everybody's going to be like, oh, that's not good. I better get what I want now.
Well, I think a lot of people also remember, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years ago, they tried to do it, and it was turned down.
Yeah, the one that they tried, I think it was about a year and a half ago, was pretty much the same thing.
Right.
And again, it passed the House.
Right.
But when it passed the House, the governor stepped in and said no and shut it down.
Right.
So he didn't do that this time. And like I said, I think the hearing is for the Senate started yesterday. But it's not like, you know, one day deliberation. They do this whole spiel, and it usually lasts a few days, 2 days, 3 days before a verdict is reached. So probably by Monday or Tuesday, we'll find out.
Well, like I said, I was shocked that we weren't busier with the ARs. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe tomorrow everybody will come in and buy, because today was 420.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Well, they were all downtown Denver, doing their, at the big park down there. They closed off that one street just for it, right there in front of the Capitol.
If people smoke or do stuff like that, that doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is people celebrating the fact that they do it.
I don't know. I see what you're saying, but it don't really matter. I don't do it, so I,
That'd be like if everybody who smoked nicotine had a national holiday for smoking nicotine. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Or all the people who drink alcohol have a national day for drinking alcohol. Again, it doesn't make sense.
I don't think it's a national holiday, is it?
It's
just something that's, I guess, communicated within the herb or cannabis society.
It's not recognized by the government, but it meets all the qualifiers for a national holiday at this point, except being acknowledged by the government.
Because federally, it's acknowledged here. I mean, because like I said, they closed that street down in Denver, and that's all right there in front of the Capitol and into the park.
But all closed. It's still illegal federally, so.
Well, yeah, that's true. At least for now, I'd give it 5 years. I think it'll be legal nationwide. I may be wrong.
No.
Because if you use it and you want it, you're going to go somewhere that has it now. And I don't know if you remember when Colorado first legalized it. It was Colorado.
Unfortunately.
In Washington. I mean, these dispensers, they had doctors working in there just to get you a medical card. So, he's nervous. We need to give him a red card where he can get, his 5 grams a day or 5 grams a week or whatever the limit was back then. So, I mean, people are going to find they want it. They're going to get it just like alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, look how well Prohibition worked out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Led to organized crime and mafia, like in a scale never seen before or since.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Could you imagine living back there? All of a sudden you were allowed to drink, and then the next day you weren't. they were throwing your alcohol down the street. I guess that'd be the one time you wouldn't mind being a bum living on the street, huh?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm surprised that they thought that was a good idea. I mean, granted, it was a little bit before that, but it's like they forgot what happened when Britain tried to impose a tea tax.
I don't know. But, I hear there's still certain counties. I don't know none in, out west here. Maybe there are, but someone was telling me that, because they were talking about it on another show the other day, that there's some places, I think they said in Kentucky. I don't remember what other ones, but that are still considered dry counties.
That would not surprise me.
Really?
Yeah. Not everybody likes alcohol. Not everybody's for, whatever vices people have. I mean, if you look...
I know not everybody's for alcohol, but what about the people that want some, Super Bowl parties or just to have a beer every night after work? Why shouldn't they be allowed to do it?
Because majority rules.
I wonder if that majority was real small back in the days and they just never re-voted on it.
That is more than likely what the case was. But, you know, you get used to something so long, you don't even think about changing it too, so.
I don't know. I think if I was a, you know, a young man, say, you know, 21 to 25, and I lived somewhere, I think I'd have to run for city mayor or council and try and get that changed for the new generation. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. I guess living out here all my life, I just never really thought that shit still went on.
No, you'd be surprised at some of the stuff that still goes on.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You're probably right. I would probably be surprised, but I just can't imagine no alcohol within a whole county.
Are you familiar with how laws get made, like the actual process from start to finish?
To be honest with you, no. I've never been, I guess, much into them. I'm one of those guys that would rather bitch about it. I can't believe they did that.
Unless you're talking like Congress and the House of Representatives, when it's local laws, something has to happen to instigate the law. You can't just walk up and be like, hey, I want to make this a law just because. Something has to happen to instigate it.
Okay.
With that in mind, there are laws on the books in the country that make zero sense all around the country. Some of them are just funny. Like here in Colorado, in Aspen, it is specifically stated in their law book that it is illegal to shoot a catapult at City Hall. That means at some point in the history of Aspen, somebody took a catapult and shot City Hall with it.
Really?
Yeah, that's the only way that they could get a law like that. You know, there's a lot of laws that also don't get enforced. Like in Texas, for the state of Texas, it is illegal for a woman to drive a car on Sunday unless their husband is standing in front of it waving a red flag. Like, they don't enforce it, but it's still a law. So technically, if you're in Texas and you're female and you're driving, you can get pulled over by the cop and thrown in jail because you are technically breaking a law. Like, it's ridiculous.
Oh, man. So I guess if you had the wrong cop or a prick of a cop, I guess you could write her up, huh? Or give her a ticket for driving. Oh, man. I bet if you really digged into it, you could probably find quite a few of them out there, especially state to state and county and cities.
One of my favorite...
I remember someone saying one time that it's if you steal a cow in Colorado, you can still be hung.
That would not surprise me, actually.
Well, I don't think they've hung anyone in Colorado for, you know.
Yeah, those older laws, they won't enforce them. Like, a lot of them don't even know they exist because they're, like, obscure and buried in the legislation.
I wonder if someone could go in and pick, you know, those kind of laws and say, hey, you know, how would you get a law banned? Go through the governor or your state?
Yeah, I think that, so there's two ways that usually happens from what I understand. Enough people have to sign a petition to bring it into a hearing to overturn it, or there has to be a precedent set in a court case. Like, that's how Roe v. Wade happened, was precedent set by the court case Roe v. Wade.
Okay. I don't know. It'd be pretty neat, though, to be the person to start getting some of them, I guess, nonsense laws Something that was made in the Days of the Western. Or...
yeah, law from the 1800s.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? I don't know. You would think people would keep up on that, especially your lawyers and.
There are too many laws for everybody to know all of them. Personally, I feel like a good use of all that marijuana money we make in this state is create a position or a department that reviews laws, especially the older ones, and is like, is this still practical? Does this still make sense? Do we really need this?
Yeah, I'd go for that. That'd be a neat position to have.
You could have. It would be useful, too. Like, you clean up the law book, right? And it makes it easier for people to find whatever laws they're looking for, or the legalities. There's less confusion over a whole bunch of crap. It's just, I think cleaning up the law books is a legitimate job that, honestly, should be done all around the country.
I agree. You would think they would do certain things after so long, but it don't sound like they do they?
You would think, but no. No, they don't.
It's in the book.
Because in Texas, yeah, in Texas, it's still law that a woman can't drive on Sunday unless her husband, specifically her husband, is in front of her car waving a red flag. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
I wonder if they mean like he had to be driving in front of her with a red flag out the window or something.
You see, that's the thing. It's ambiguous. I have no idea. He might have to, like, walk and wave a flag as she's driving very slowly down the street. It'd be ridiculous, but, you know. Why is that still in the book?
Your wife is not allowed to drive, right? It says your wife?
Yeah, on Sundays only.
Or does it say females?
Women. It says women specifically, and the only way you can drive on a Sunday is, one, you have to be married, two, it has to be your husband. So, sorry if you're not straight, your wife can't go in front of your car and wave the red flag for you. It's not going to work out, according to Texas.
Okay, that's what I was wondering if, you know, what would an 18-year-old girl, you know, just getting her driver's license... She can't drive to work on Sunday. Now she
can't drive on Sundays. Well, so that's what, like, they do not enforce that law. And it's probably a really good thing they don't enforce that law. But it doesn't change the fact that every Sunday, about half the state breaks the law.
Well, you know, you said it had to be a situation that they made it a law.
Yeah, and what in the world it also
could have made a situation that they'd make a law.
Yeah, that's like, it really makes you wonder what happened in order for them to do that.
You know what probably happened? The mayor or the governor of that state probably got in a car accident and blamed a woman. And up, we're going to make this law. No more women driver.
Yeah, on Sunday. Yeah, that would make sense, actually.
So when they make a law, you know, when they introduce a law, I wonder if they have to have the reasons why. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, you said you can't just go out and say, hey, I want to make this law. They have to have a reason, right?
Yep.
I wonder how you could find out what the reason was or what the basis was behind it, that law.
I think for a lot of the laws, because the reason is not always recorded, especially on the older laws. So a lot of that gets lost to time. Like, I'm also curious why you can't leave your elephant tied to a parking meter in Florida.
Well, I don't know. Because there can't be that many people that own elephants. That I know of. Probably more people own alligators now than they do elephants.
Yeah, but it's like, well, like we went over with earlier, the gun restrictions, the 3-day wait, and they cited their reasons for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that is more common practice now to be recording that instead of just the law. So some of those really old laws that just, they don't make much sense, they don't have the reason why recorded.
Oh, man. Can't leave your elephant tied up to a meter, huh?
Parking meter, yep.
I'd like to know why that one was made. Circus was in town and they had to tie up a...
You know, probably.
Wrangley Brothers were in town and... Oh, my God. They should have gave them more free tickets than they did, huh?
Well, that's what you get for leaving your elephant tied to a parking meter.
Oh, my God. I wonder if it says the dates. I'm going to have to Google all this and find old laws and see if they have the date when they were, I guess, established.
I did not look so thoroughly as to try to get a date on every single one of them. But, yeah, there's a lot of laws on the book that just, they're either way outdated, or they're way, absurd. Like, why would this be a law, specifically this? Well, it's like speed limits, right? The federal government tried to impose a speed limit. I don't remember the exact numbers, but we actually almost had another civil war over it.
Well, now I know the federal government, if you do certain, you know, certain roads, if you do certain speed limits, then they fund it.
Yeah, like highways that are interstate.
Yeah. But now if they don't use what they call the federal speed limit or something, they don't get funded for it.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, I do remember hearing that. I mean, I'm not sure how it's written or what. But.
So I don't know the exact verbiage of the law, but what I remember is the federal government tried to impose a speed limit for nationwide, the max anybody could ever drive ever, period, in terms of speed. All the Midwest states said, no, that is ridiculous because it'll take too long to get from where I need to go to where I'm going. And they threatened to secede over it, and enough states said they would secede over it that the federal government finally relented. And had they actually seceded, we probably would have seen a repeat of 1866.
Hmm. Well.
Because there's a lot of federal land in the Midwest, and the feds would want their property back, and all the Midwest states, being Midwest states, would probably tell them to... bugger off, and then you'd have another Fort Sumter.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. It'd make sense. I'd see why they would. I don't know. I guess it's a good thing we don't have a national speed limit law, huh? That we know.
Yeah, because, you know, you're talking like mega cities on the coasts. Or just most things on the coast. You've been to the East and West Coast, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, especially on the East Coast, where the capital is, everything is so close together. You could drive, like, 10 miles and get to another town or another city in some cases.
Oh, yeah.
Feel in the Midwest? Yeah. Rhode Island's case, yeah. But here in, you know, the middle of the country, everything's so spread out. So forcing everybody to drive like 45 miles an hour, could you imagine if you had to drive 45 miles an hour or less to get to Denver?
Oh, I guess I'd get a lot of tickets. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, it makes sense where you're at, but not where we're at.
So you know what the federal government did then. That's why they've got the regulators on cars and vehicles now. Because most vehicles cannot go over 120 miles an hour.
There was a whole bunch of stuff involving the auto industry, speaking of dumb laws. Are you familiar with the Toyota Hilux?
The Toyota Hilux?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, right. Do you know why you're not familiar with it?
No. Tell me.
Because they're illegal over here.
Really?
Yep, they're illegal over here. I don't remember the specifics for which bill it got added to, but at one point they were having some kind of dispute with imports. So light commercial vehicles were banned from being imported here, and the Toyota Hilux was one of the vehicles that was considered a light commercial vehicle at the time. Since then, they've removed a lot of the restrictions, but for one reason or another, a certain category of the light commercial vehicles that the Toyota Hilux falls under still cannot be imported because it's still legal, even though it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't affect anything. You can import bigger vehicles, and it's like, why? And if you didn't know, Top Gear, do you know what that show is?
Top Gear?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
So they have a very famous episode where they took a Toyota Hilux, I think it was an 89 Hilux, and they torture tested it because they heard it was indestructible, so they put it to the test. Turns out it's
That's
pretty much indestructible.
Guys, right?
Yeah.
The two or three guys that, yeah. Okay, I've seen it. I know what show you're talking about. Yeah,
just look up Top Gear Hilux, and you'll see all the crazy stuff they did to it. They submerged it in the ocean for 12 hours, set it on fire, dropped a house on it, smacked it with a wrecking ball, put it on top of a building, and then blew the building up. Like, they did all kinds of crazy stuff to it, and then drove it into the studio at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look at that one. Yeah, because I'm sure I could stream it somehow.
Yeah, you might even be able to find the torture test they did on, like, YouTube or something like that.
Yeah. No, So, this vehicle's still illegal in the U.S.?
Yep, still illegal. Well, it's like the K-Trucks. Are you familiar with K-Trucks?
No.
Okay, so they're really popular for ranch and farmers because they're little pickup trucks. They're, like, really tiny. They get imported from Japan. They're not street legal. You can own one. You can drive it around a property, but you can't bring it onto a street because it's not street legal.
I didn't know that.
I've probably
never seen one. Or if I did, I didn't know what I was looking at. Just thought it was a... Okay.
Yeah, they look like extremely tiny pickup trucks. So I know a few states fairly recently, like in the past decade, have made them to where you can get them street legal. But... they're just not considered street legal.
Why is it not? I mean, it has to be a reason. Are they too fast, too small?
They
can't be no smaller than those ones that are out there now. Those, goddamn, I can't think of the name, but hell, there's a motorcycle wider than them. Goddamn it, I'll have to... But anyways, go ahead. I was wondering why they're... Does it have no fenders, no doors, or what?
It's usually because they don't have, like, seat belts or airbags, so it's a safety thing. But you're allowed to drive a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like, okay, guys. Okay.
Well, I wonder if you went in and had them installed... Would you be able to use it then? Look at some of these dune buggies that they put on the streets now. I mean, hell, you can get a, you know, you can take a dune buggy and register it.
It varies state to state. Like in Colorado, they're considered illegal. I know that. It doesn't matter what you do to it, you can't get them street legal. Some states, like in the past 10 years, you can get them street legal, but you have to put work into it, like installing airbags, seatbelts, stuff that it actually kind of makes sense. Like, okay, you let us do it and it becomes street legal. Cool. But to just say, nope, it's a K-truck, so by default, no matter what you do to it, no matter how safe you make it, no matter what, you will never have it street legal. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, that ain't... I don't know. I'm going to look that one up, too, because that's... I don't know. Like you said, people can drive motorcycles. You can have those... well, they got those new ones out, you know, with the three wheels on them. I forget what they're called, trikes or something like that.
Yeah, trikes.
You know, I just... Those are kind of laws we need that group to work on, abolishing it.
Just remember, in the state of Colorado, you can at least tie your elephant to a parking meter.
That's true. It ain't a law yet. I just never will take them to Florida, I guess.
Yep, there you go. As long as you don't take them down to Florida, you'll be good.
Well, no. I can take them there, right? I just can't tie them to a meter, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So if I tie them to the tree in the middle of the park, no one can say anything about that, right?
You know, I think that'd be breaking a different law. What law exactly?
I'm sure they probably got one.
I don't know, but I feel like that's definitely a law down there if you can't tie it to a parking meter.
Yeah, look up elephant laws in Florida. Has to have a... what the hell's those called? Around their neck that you put on the dog? Collar.
Collar, yeah.
Yeah. All elephants must have a collar and a 10-foot walking rope. Oh, shit. Yeah, at least I can keep my elephant here. I don't know what they'll probably make a law up if I tie them to a meter.
No.
So we can't do them no more.
So, remember what I said about the process of laws being made, something has to instigate it?
Right.
Speaking of driving vehicles, dumb laws, and all of that, in Alabama, it is illegal to drive blindfolded.
Well, I'd like that law. Every state should have that one.
That one actually makes a lot of sense. But keep in mind, something happened to instigate that being a very specific law.
Oh, my. Oh, should that be scary to watch, wouldn't it? I'd love to hear the story of why he did it, though. The car knew its way home. What would you tell the cop? I couldn't even think what I would tell a cop. Well,
like what would make you? What would make you want to blindfold yourself, then drive? Like what?
I guess if you had a bumper car, you know, as you bumped into the curb. I don't know.
I don't think that is horrible.
I like the law, but I'd like to know what instigated it. Does it say when it became a law?
I did read the date on that one when I found that one out, but I don't remember it.
Oh. Oh, shit, that would be... Yeah. That'd be a good one to see happen, or seen the original cause of it. I wonder if they caused a major accident or ran someone over or something.
I do know in 1948, one of the most ridiculous laws I've come across was passed. A pickle must be able to bounce. And I believe that was Connecticut.
You said a pickle, right?
A pickle.
Must be able to bounce?
Yep, that's a law. Like, if you're selling a pickle and it don't bounce, you're breaking the law. Like, okay.
Yeah. See, I guess that one went way over my head because I can't even figure out why that would have to be. Why would someone even want that as a law? What's the matter?
I don't know. I would assume that if your pickle bounces, it's some kind of indicator of the state of pickling. But, like, that's just a really weird law. Like, in order to sell pickles, they have to bounce. Like,
so how would McDonald's and your fast food places put a sliced pickle on your food?
Well, you know, they take the pickle, they throw it on the ground, they make sure it bounces.
Back up, we serve it.
Yeah, and then they chop it up and put it on your burgers. It's fine.
Okay, that one's legal. That's servable.
I don't think that one's enforced, but I do know the date specifically on that was in 1948.
You know what? Good thing I don't live there. I'd open up a can of... Oh, nope, those don't bounce. You can't charge me for them. They're not legal.
And the best part is if they try to get you arrested and you do get arrested for whatever it is, you could take it to court, show them the law, and be like, I was just following the law.
I wanted to make sure it bounced.
Yes. And at that point, they'd either have to remove it or something would have to be done because that is just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I could see you can't just buy a pickle in produce, can you?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Pickles can only be in a jar because it's a cucumber, right?
Yeah, you can actually buy pickles not in a jar. I know gas stations sell, like, these little packets of pickles where it's, like, an individual pickle in a packet. And I think
it's already been processed.
Yeah. I think I've seen at some farmers markets, actually, people have, like, pickles that they sell, like, cucumbers where they're out on display. They're not, like, soaking in a brine, but they've been pickled. So they're, like, a drier pickle.
But what I'm saying, though, is a pickle is made from a cucumber, right?
Yeah.
So does the cucumber have to bounce, too?
You know, I don't think that's actually addressed in the law. These are important questions we should bring to the state of Connecticut.
I'm just wondering, I mean, if the cucumber didn't bounce, why would the pickle bounce? Unless it's because of the brine, you know?
Well, I mean, the texture's different. Pickles tend to be, I'm not going to say more rubbery, but they don't have that same level of crunch. Yeah, it's not like a rubbery texture. It's something else where it's almost like it's rubbery, but that's not quite the right descriptor.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah, it's a good thing I don't live in Connecticut. I'd insist that it bounces before I buy that jar. Because they couldn't do nothing to you. They'd have to show you that it bounced, right?
I mean, they could do something, but you could fight it in the court.
Walk into the grocery store and say, hey, I need the store manager. We need to go to the pickle aisle.
I was thinking about buying a jar of pickles, but I read the law, and it's not legal unless they bounce, so let's see it.
Yeah. I'd be scared to be a pickle vendor there. You know, who is Vazik? I can't even think of the name. Vazik?
Have you seen the pickle vendor at the gun show? They go in occasionally. And they sell pickles.
No.
Yeah, they weren't there this weekend, but they occasionally make it out. I think I've seen them at the Colorado Springs show the most. Next time I see them, I'm going to ask them if their pickles bounce.
Well, yeah, but they don't have to here.
Yeah.
That's only in Connecticut. Ask them if they sell pickles in Connecticut.
That's the thing. Do your pickles bounce? What do you mean? Well, you got to make sure they bounce before you can sell them in Connecticut.
Okay. I do know we got that. There's a that MMA fighter. She's selling. God damn it! She's over there on the other side of you, in that other room there by the concession stand. You see her?
Oh, she was an MMA fighter?
Yeah, she's an MMA fighter. She's got a match coming up here in Denver.
That explains the outfit. I thought that was a little weird. There was a girl selling. I didn't even bother looking at what she was selling. It was just some kind of jarred pickle jelly something.
Pickles. That's what it is. Okay. Jarred pickles. Homemade pickles or jarred pickles something. That's why I asked you if you'd seen her.
Yeah, I did briefly. I thought she was advertising something or another. But MMA fighter, that makes so much sense now.
She's a good-looking lady. But if she said no, I would turn around and walk away. She would not be one that you would, come on. She would... Yeah.
Okay, so what you got to do is you have to go there tomorrow. You have to be like, hey, I just thought you should know in Connecticut, if your pickles don't bounce, you're not allowed to sell them. You got to make sure you phrase it right, though, because that could be taken the wrong way.
Yeah, because she may lay you out. You ever been?
Yeah.
She'll throw you through the table right there.
I mean, she might be able to do that to you. I think I weigh a little too much for her to be able to do that to me.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Knock me over, sure, but, like, actually pick me up off the ground? Most guys can't even pick me up off the ground.
Well, that is true, but I'd hate to piss her off. She's built more than most men are. Unless you're, you know, a weightlifter or something. When she told me she was an MAA fighter, it was like, holy cows. Because she was wearing a different uniform yesterday. And she's telling me she has a card coming up in at the Denver, was it the Denver Center or whatever they call that up there, event center. But I thought it'd be neat to bring her on to a podcast. You know, I know she ain't UFC, but I don't know. I think it'd be neat having a female MMA fighter and kind of, you know, talk about her training. I don't know. Let her talk about whatever she wanted. I wouldn't argue with her. Hell, you'd probably enjoy that. You know, as much as you're into, your self-defense.
Maybe. So most MMA is basically Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. The story behind that one is when the MMA first came out, the Gracie Barra, something Gracie, the guy's name, something Gracie, was dominating the MMA when it was actually all the different martial arts styles. So everybody just kind of assumed that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was the best martial art based off of that. But if you actually go and watch some of the matches, like when he went against the sumo wrestler, they did kind of cheat, the refs did, and disqualified him over some stupid stuff. I think, like, he got a tooth knocked out, and they disqualified him over it.
Yeah, see, I watch MMA a kind of like wrestling. You know, I kind of go through those phases.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know.
Oh, it's still fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. If it's on, I'll watch it. It's just like wrestling. You know, I love watching it. I don't keep up with it on an everyday basis. You know, I know some people, that's what they, I guess their hobby or what they live for. You know, they just watch everything and watch it all, but know everybody. But I got a guy at work. He sponsors a lot of them, of the MMA fighters. In fact, I may be able to get him to sponsor her. I don't know. But I'll grab you tomorrow and we'll go. Oh, wait, you won't be there, will you? Damn it. I was going to say we go talk to her. Talk her into doing a podcast. You there?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm reading in the chat. No. No beta in the chat.
Yeah, I don't understand that, so.
It's Japanese. It's like the English-fied version of Japanese using English characters instead of Japanese kanji.
Oh. So you understand it?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. You could have told me, yeah, and I would have believed whatever you said.
So I am only fully fluent in Hebraic and English. I'm semi-fluent in Farsi. So I've translated, I think it was on Monica's show. I did a little bit of translating, but there were several points where I needed Google Translate because my Farsi is not so good.
Yeah, I was there that show. You did it. I remember. I don't remember who you were talking to or translating for. But
I don't remember his name. Yeah.
I remember you doing that. So you know, that's one thing I wish I could go back to school and learn when I was younger, you know, different languages and take it more serious. Because now, you know, I'm 57 and it's a hell of a lot harder to even learn how to speak English. Well, you know, they keep changing and adding words every time you turn around. And,
I'm not the most keen and able to learn languages. I do have a cousin that works for the UN. She lives in Germany. She is a polyglot. She speaks Spanish, French, Italian, English, Mandarin, and there was a sixth one. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was Russian.
Yeah. Now, see, if I could go back to school, I'd like to learn Spanish, French, Italian, Russian, which I think is real close to Paris.
French.
It's the other one. No, the other one that you said that you talked. Paris or Farsi.
Yeah, Persian. Farsi.
I mean, there's four or five, maybe six languages. If I was young back in school, you know, and had the time to study all those, there's five or six that I think would really, really be good to learn.
So I would think Spanish would be the most useful based off of where we live, because there's a lot of Spanish speakers out here.
Yeah.
Latin, even though it's considered a dead language, it's not a dead language, but a lot of people consider it a dead language, would be a good one to learn because all the Romance languages are based off of Latin. So while you won't be able to like communicate like we're communicating now, there's that whole spread of languages that you have basic communication with. Personally, I feel like Mandarin would be a good one to learn because of how prominent China has become.
Yeah. Chinese and Japanese, yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I wish I could have. That's one thing I wish I did when I was younger. Because, you know, when you're young and, well, this is America, you can only speak English. But that ain't true no more. It'd be neat to be able to communicate with other cultures and other people. If anything, it, you know, at least be able to understand them and help them when they're shopping or, you know, I guess because I work in a store too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you were curious what Nobita was saying, the first thing he said was, the pickle sounds American.
The pickle sounds American?
Yep.
So they must not have pickles over there?
Oh, I think it's because we were talking about the bouncing pickle.
Okay. What are you doing, just translating it off of a translator?
It was stupid Americans talking about pickles because, you know, I guess he missed the part about the dumb laws.
Yeah, he may have.
Yeah. So I asked him, wasn't that a movie? Because I know there was some kind of movie that came out recently about somebody selling pickles in America. So then he let me know he speaks Japanese. So I respond with, I kind of gathered that because, you know, I'm responding in Japanese. So, yeah. But I think he thought we were just talking about bouncing pickles, which it kind of makes sense. Like, you get in on a show and they're talking about bouncing pickles. Like, these Americans are nuts. Like, I don't blame him in the slightest, but I think he missed the part where we were talking about how it was a dumb law in Connecticut in 1948 that pickles had to bounce.
Yeah, probably, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. Oh. Well, my friend, I am going to get ready for the show tomorrow. We got one more day up there in Denver. And you got to work, right?
Yeah, I got to open shop.
What time do you guys open? I mean, it's pizza, but...
So the store opens at 11. We have to be there at 10. But being as how that first snowstorm, somebody decided they didn't like the way my truck worked and decided to fix it for me by destroying my truck, KJ drops me off at like 7, 7:30 at the store, and I just get a head start on the day.
Oh, okay. So now do you leave early, or do you wait till KJ can pick you up?
I wait until he can pick me up.
That's why you're working so many damn hours.
Yeah, one of the reasons.
He won't be done until, what, at least 4 o'clock. He won't be back down here till 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, I usually don't get off until like 7, 8 o'clock.
Oh, well, that's okay. He'll be there by then. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, dude, this one's about to end on us. And, hey, Crazy, how are you?
Crazy, you missed the entire talk about bouncing pickles. It was a good time.
I'll tell her. She's from Texas.
The Texas.
Texas doll.
So
Mayor,
there's
do
a.
You want to come up?
No, I feel that.
Take a minute, come up to the panel. We got to. I want to know your opinion on a stupid law in Texas. Maybe you agree with it. Let's see if she comes up. If she didn't leave, she may have left already. You ain't going to come up, Mayor? Anyways. Okay, so tell her the law. Let's see.
So apparently in Texas, it's illegal for women to drive without their husband standing in front of their car waving a red flag. It's one of those laws that's like really old and nobody enforces.
You forgot to tell her on Sundays only.
On Sundays only, yeah. songs about Texas.
So you can no longer drive in Texas unless you got a husband and he has to wave a red flag in front of you.
We were talking about how the law doesn't really specify whether he has to drive in front of you in a separate vehicle waving a red flag, or if he's walking while you're slowly creeping past him. That's ridiculous.
When you run him over and kill him, I guess you can't drive no more.
Oh, he's going to be in the grill. Strap him to the hood of the car. There you go. Just strap him to the front of the vehicle. Have him wave a flag. That's how you get around it.
One of those big horns. Have him tied to it.
There you go.
The Texas Longhorns. Shit. I don't know. I can imagine them enforcing that, though.
I
crazy,
don't
you're
think...
not allowed to drive no more on Sundays. Mainly because you're not married. If you get married, you can drive as long as your husband's in front of you with a red flag.
On Sundays. That's one of those ones I don't think if somebody tried to enforce that, that would make national news. I don't like traffic.
Could you imagine them setting up a instead of speed traps, women trap? Oh, there's a woman driver, no husband. Give him a ticket. I wonder what the fine is. What's the penalty?
Why does that sound like a movie off of Amazon Prime, The Woman Trap, where it's just about a cop setting up traps in Texas for that?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. No. It sounds like a horrible Amazon movie that somebody would make.
Hey, Rock. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, Lou?
Rock's from Florida. Tell me about his elephant.
Oh, yeah. So, Lou Rock, just to let you know, it is illegal in your state to tie your pet elephant to a parking meter.
Oh, shit.
He's like, I don't know what's going on right now.
Well, crazy's not allowed to drive in Texas on Sundays unless she's married with her husband in front of her.
Waving a red flag, yep.
Oh, shit.
That's okay. In our state, it's illegal to shoot a catapult at City Hall in Aspen.
Oh, my God.
That's another piece of lies.
No, I don't say he has to be alive.
It just says he has to be waving a flag, so I guess if he's dead and on the hood of your car with a flag tied to him and the wind's making it wave, you're good.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just couldn't imagine that. Could you imagine why they made that law? I still would love to know why they made that law down there.
I want to know why they make a lot of laws. Like the Ringling Brothers went through Florida, and now apparently you can't tie your pet elephant to a parking meter. It's like the only thing I could think of.
It had to be. I'm sure that the law down in Texas was probably a religious law at the time.
It might have been. I don't know what year that one came out. Like the pickle one came out in 1948. I know that one. But yeah, it has to be like a really old religious law.
That's the only reason I could think that. Why would you not allow women to drive on a on a Sunday?
Yeah, specifically Sunday.
I don't know. I'll do some research and find out.
Yeah, you should. If you find the answer, let me know, because I've always been curious what caused that one to come into existence.
Oh, I'll Google it and see what I can find out. Keep digging, but it has to be someone there, something on it, saying why. Anyways. Well, guys, I'd love to thank you for coming down, and we're going to end this show. It's got a couple minutes to go.
All right. Thanks for the laughs.
Oh, yeah, it was a fun show. Thanks for coming in, Mayor Lou Rock. We'll catch you in another one.
All right, we'll see you later.
See ya.
Hey, welcome to We Need to Talk with Nick B. I'd like to thank Bracken's Firearms. For all your firearms and shooting needs, give them a call. 719-465-8320. Also like to thank 5280 Creative Company. Contact them for all your custom handmade items, cups, keychains, tote bags, and much, much more. Check them out at 5280creativeco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Also like to thank Kiss My Fist. They have the hardest hitting edibles on the planet. Go to Kiss My Fist, medco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Thank you, and now to the show.